You're listening to RCR Radio.
Time for River City Sports Talk on RCRRadio.com with your host, Patrick Wilkins.
Kuiper, thank you so much. You are extremely too kind for dragging that out like that. I appreciate all of you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to the River City Sports Talk on RCRRadio.com. I truly appreciate you tuning in. With me, as always, is my good friend Woody Powell and whom you just heard, Ryan Kuiper. These two guys are going to help me plow through another week of a Jaguar loss. I'm going to get both of these guys' opinions right now. Woody, pros and cons of the win, and then Kuiper, same question to you, bud. What are you guys thinking?
You know what? That's just a fantastic question. Pros and cons of the loss out in San Diego. The pro, we actually looked like we wanted to play the game and knew how to play the game. We didn't execute quite as well as the San Diego Chargers. They exposed some things from a very young team. But overall, we put out a competitive effort, and it was a great start for Blake Bortles, in my opinion. He continued to show that he is well ahead of the curve and looked really good in the game. That's really the biggest takeaway for me. And Ryan, what do you think?
I'm almost on board with you guys. I mean, with you so far. Pros, we saw a little bit out of our wide receivers this time around. Definitely some bright spots. Aside from the Cecil Shorts injury, that was pretty bad. However, other great good spots, I mean, good bright spots we saw was the run defense. That's something that we can always build upon for the next week coming up against Pittsburgh. And also the cons, you know, all around the team, the defense itself was awful. Okay. We make
clearly the defense was awful. Yeah.
We make every team that's come in so far look like Super Bowl contenders. And it just amazes me.
I mean, you're absolutely right. We've got a segment planned later on in the show for the quarterbacks we've faced and how good they've looked against us, which is depressing to say the least. But I will move the direction of the show into Blake Bortles, obviously, because that is the hot topic with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. He did complete 78% of his passes. He had one touchdown, two picks. He took three sacks for a loss of 19 yards, and he walks away with an 81.6 QBR rating. I can't express how excited I am for the Jaguars after a loss. I don't think I've ever been this excited for the Jags after a loss. I think that Bortles is going to prove to be a key addition to this team. He's going to turn the whole program around. I hope so. We've got a lot of work to do, but with Bortles, it seems like the play has continued a little bit longer. It seems like he's able to get outside of the pocket. Yes, he's going to throw two picks, and that's his rookie mistake, but he's going to create plays. And as we saw in the first half, he was creating plays to really extend the drives. Instead of punting, Brian Anger, third-round pick, I'm sorry, I love you to death, but we don't want to see you on the field. We want to continue the drives. And I think that in the first half, he showed that he was a master at that. He had a great control of that offense. Gerhart, the running game, got going a little bit early, and it was great to see. We had our first rushing touchdown since when? Woody, when was the last rushing touchdown we had?
That would be November of 2013. A definite dry spell for the Jaguars in the rushing attack. The touchdown was run by Maurice Jones-Drew, who is now out in Oakland. It's a much maligned running offense. The offensive line is young, as we all know. I think they played a lot better this week against San Diego. You know, a lot of credit goes to them, and a lot of credit goes to Blake Bortles, who you touched on in the beginning. Like you said, he just extends plays, and I think that's the biggest intangible that you're looking for in a quarterback, and he's got it. I mean, if he can move around in the pocket, have an escapability, show a surprising amount of athleticism, I think we are all, you know, really surprised by how quick he is and how fast he is and just how agile he is in the pocket. It is something that this offense desperately needs. We had it in our first-star quarterback in Mark Brunell, and maybe we have it again in Blake Bortles. He was absolutely fantastic. But, you know, you can't do it all, and you can't ask a rookie to do it all. That rushing offense that you mentioned was just pitiful. It has been pitiful from the first week. Everybody's to blame. I think, you know, for the most part, it goes to that young offensive line. We're just not getting a solid push up front. I was actually impressed with Denard Robinson this week. There's a lot of talk about whether or not he can be a feature back. We will definitely address that more. And then Toby Gerhardt, who I think, you know, let's talk about this. He fumbled on the first drive, which I think, honestly, it was a fumble that a lot of backs would give up. It was great technique used to strip the ball. But again, it just set the tone for a team that has had trouble getting out in front or trying to get a lead so that they can build off of it. And it was just another way to take a step back.
I think we felt the same tone that was shifted in Washington week two as well when Allen Hurns dropped that pass early. It's that same tone. You have an early play like that that sets the tone for the rest of the game.
Same old Jaguars.
It is. It's the same old Jaguars. I don't think it's necessarily the players on the field, but when are we going to be able to create a mentality inside of that locker room to get over the obstacles in the game?
I've always said this before. We need somebody like Tony Boselli always in the locker room to show like the legacy, the history, like the culture before Byron Leftwich showed up. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, we need, I guess you would say, like an ambassador of the 1999 season. If we could, like, Mark Brunell should be our quarterback coach. Or for the, like, Tony Boselli, you're one of the best offensive linemen of all time. You can't come in and at least show us, like, a little bit of technique as far as even being an assistant line coach.
Well, Woody and I actually went to a practice earlier in the offseason before, in the midst of the preseason, and we saw Brad Meester sitting on the sidelines kind of observing underneath the, you know, the media tent and everything like that. And Woody and I both said to each other, why is Brad Meester not our offensive line coach right now? Why is he not trying to bring the Mr. Jaguar mentality to that offensive line? Granted, we're stricken with injuries on that offensive line. We're having issues with it, and it clearly is the downfall of a lot of the issues that we have. We've got an offense in place that if we had an offensive line to create some kind of holes,
well, let's talk about
We'd be able to make some moves.
Well, let's talk about that. Okay, I was reading Bleacher Report earlier today. They gave our offensive line a D, which it deserves most likely. But what I saw the difference between the performance this week and previous weeks was that Blake Bortles was able to operate the offense. And that's something that I really haven't seen yet to this week, except for last week when he came in the second half. We kind of saw it a little bit. But the offense started to work a little bit more. I think once they kind of situated out the running backs as far as Denard Robinson coming down on first and second down and Toby coming in the third down back towards the second quarter, towards the end of the second quarter, you definitely saw the offense moving a little bit more fluidly. Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson coming off their routes a lot more crisp and getting the balls right on target when it was supposed to be there. That's where I think the difference between Blake and Henny kind of really exists in decision making.
Well, I mean, Blake Bortles can only do so much. We've talked about him extending the play, allowing those receivers to get open. He can only do so much. And honestly, you cannot execute an offensive game plan without a running game. And the offensive line is the issue if we're going to go in that direction. And as Woody was just pointing out to me, Tony Boselli in 1996 was one of the premier left tackles in the league, and you've got to get to the point where is Jokel that premier guy? Granted, I don't want to put all of the offensive line woes on Jokel. I think Beatles is being a little overpaid currently, but it begs the question, where is Jokel, who was our top pick last year when it comes to Tony Boselli? Every program has a standard, a bar that's been set, and Tony Boselli set that bar. Where is Jokel when it comes to that bar? What do you think, bro?
Yeah, I think that has to start to come into question. He's just struggled so far. I mean, that's really the bottom line. And he missed a lot of games last year. He got off to a rough start, but he had a full offseason and more to prepare himself to get ready for camp, prepare himself to battle against the other left ends, you know, throughout the league, and he just hasn't done it. So you have to wonder, where is the gap between where he was projected to be at this point and where he is, and how do we close that gap? How do we get him to step up and play better? Ryan and I both agree that he did play better this last weekend, and so hopefully we can just see some consistency from him going forward. Bowanko, we also discussed, was a bit of the weakness. The main guy who just couldn't hold it together, couldn't make it happen on the point of attack.
He's a rookie, though. You've got to remember that he is a rookie.
Absolutely. You hate to pick on the guy because he is a rookie.
Exactly.
He's a six-round pick. Absolutely. But again, you know, with a team that is searching for answers, searching for leaders, he's somebody who's going to have to get it going now and learn on the fly. And we all believe he has the potential. He's definitely the best athlete that they had at that position. But we can't forget that Mike Brewster was predicted to be the starter this year. He gets cut by the end of training camp. And really, you know, the hands just go up. Who are we going to get to play this position? We got this kid in the sixth round really more as a developmental player. And now we throw him into the starting lineup. And honestly, you know, with all of that put on the table, of course he's playing about as expected as he should. And we just hope that he continues to grow at that position, because we've had great luck as a franchise at center. And we hope that we found the next one in Bowanko. But he still has some growing pains at this point.
Now, I was talking about Joku yesterday during the game with a friend of mine. And he made a great point. Joku is a twin. And we all have seen his brother. He was a quarterback for Texas A&M, the backup quarterback. He transferred this past year to another school. I can't really name it right now. But anyway, if you look at them, they're twins, okay? You know, Luke outweighs his brother by like 125 pounds. And their frames are the exact same. So what he lacks in size, because he's always going to have a hard time keeping his weight on. I can just feel it right now. My buddy made that point to me, and I kind of was like in agreement. I've always thought the same thing. Like, how is he a left tackle, and his brother is a 200-pound quarterback, 220-pound quarterback? How is he going to be an elite left tackle in the NFL as far as size-wise? They're just, you know, genetically they're the same person as far as the frame. So what I was thinking, you know, what he makes up for size, he makes up in technique. And that's what he's been showing as far as yesterday, Bleacher Report, Pro Football gave him a negative grade, gave him a D, I believe. 22 rushes on 24 attempts on passing attempts or something like that. He kind of fell in, but he didn't give up a sack. So that's a good thing that we can always show. We can just need to show improvement. As far as everything else goes on the offensive line, you kind of made that point with Bowanko. He's young. He's a center. He actually did pretty well on his run block, but as far as pass blocking, he was really, really bad. So right now, Linder is very promising, actually. As long as we don't hear his name.
You use that word way too easily, buddy.
What's that?
Promising.
Well, did I say that a lot already? But
But
with
Linder promising. All right.
Well, we don't hear
Linder
his
promising
name.
In a Jed
Beatles
Fish offense. Yes, but we're seeing Jed Fish is done.
Beatles had his best game yesterday as a Jaguar, hands down. I gave him definitely around a B. I don't give anybody on that offensive line an A at this point. Not until we actually win a game. I think we need to win a game and show consistent run blocking, because you show from the week one to week four, our run blocking is becoming better and better. That's something that really encourages me, because that's the hardest thing to get down as a young line, especially when you have so many transplants. And you got Joku, who's only played 4 games coming into the season. We're starting to see that. And also Clay Harbor, who had a heck of a game yesterday. We're actually seeing great run blocking out of him, which is surprising. He might be somebody that we need to keep our eye on as far as showing up each and every week, unlike Mercedes did. Maybe he will actually turn into a good NFL player. So
your pinpoint is on Harbor, Clay Harbor.
Well, the Clay Harbor. Listen, Clay Harbor is
I mean, he's from the scout team, and we're desperate. That's why we've got Clay Harbor on.
He showed up. He was our number one wide receiver yesterday.
He was
8 targets, 8 receptions, 69 yards. And honestly, he showed up and played football yesterday.
You're absolutely right. He did. And thank God he was there for us because he was the one that was able to spark a little bit of the offense. But also, how much was it of Blake Bortles finding him?
Oh, Blake.
Checking down.
Listen, my excitement from I got a bottle.
I mean, I can tell you that Blake Bortles felt the same amount of pressure in week four in San Diego as
right now
Henny did week three at home with Indianapolis.
All in Jacksonville, Jaguar,
felt the same pressure.
Jaguar fans everywhere need to realize what Blake Bortles is. He is going to be the best draft pick we've seen in 15 years. There's high school kids running around who have never seen the Jaguars have a great draft pick. You know, we don't have one. We don't have the Jimmy Smiths. We don't have the Mark. We have Marcus Stroud and John Henderson and Maurice Jones-Drew, I guess you would say, is the last great Jaguar to come through. But other than that, we have nobody. This kid is very promising. He's a winner. He's a gamer. He's tough. We had ESPN who never gives Jaguars cred. They were comparing him between Ben Roethlisberger and Andrew Luck. So
Well, I mean, he completed 78% of his passes.
Broke a record for.
Of course, he set the record for rookie their first appearance. Of course.
With a minimum 30 attempts, and that tells you a lot in this day of age with how many great quarterbacks have come up recently with the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's. He's definitely on pace to be a great football player, and we're great to see that.
Of course we are. And Bortles is a very big spark for this Jacksonville fan base. They need to be excited. They need to be ready for anything, and I think that the Bortles gives them the opportunity to be ready for anything. Right now we're sitting at 0-4, which we're at the same exact place as we were last year. And you're wondering, when are we going to get that win? Like, when are we going to be able to really come home and give this Jacksonville fan base something to be proud of? I think that our best chance is with Blake Bortles. I feel that Bortles gives this team a lot of spark, and we'll be able to extend the offense. Maybe the defense steps up. We'll talk a lot about that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we were actually competitive this weekend, wouldn't you say, Patrick? At least it looked like that for three quarters instead of two quarters. We definitely had a little bit of a spark on offense, and it fed into the defense, at least in the fact that they weren't on the field as much. Time of possession was way up for the Jaguars with Blake Bortles under center, and you can never discount that, especially when they go across the nation to play a Chargers team that has just wiped the floor with us, whether at home or abroad. The Chargers have always been Jaguar killers, and we go out there, and for at least the first half, we're really taking it to them and looking like we're competitive. Blake Bortles, to me, does not look like a rookie quarterback. I've seen
He doesn't look like a rookie.
He is not flustered. I saw him climb the pocket yesterday, and Ryan talked about Clay Harbor. Clay Harbor had a great double move when he just broke open in the middle of the field. By the time the cameras picked it up, it looked like Clay Harbor had just been running free from the time that he called hike. But he put on a great double move right in the middle of the field, turned the opposite direction, completely faked out his defender, and was wide open, making a pretty difficult catch with all of the athletic moves he made to get open, and then takes it for a huge lead. We still lost by 19 points, and so it really has to put the onus back on what was supposed to be the strength of this team going into this season, which is
It comes back to the defense. You're absolutely right. We will segment into the defense in just a couple minutes. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the River City Sports Talk on rcrradio.com. Check us out whenever you get a chance on Twitter. It's River City Rant, and I am at WILP0016. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
And we're on iTunes now.
We are on iTunes now, aren't we?
Yeah.
There you go. Back as previously mentioned, we do have a special caller on the line. Kuiper has got this one guy. His name's Barry O from DC.
Yeah, I met him on the Bold City Brigade trip.
Did you really?
Yeah, definitely using a Ghost Rider name or a pseudonym. He's a special person. I don't want to blow his cover, but pretty excited, pretty shocked he actually called in. So this is a special guest here.
All right, so we got Barry O on the line. Barry, what are your thoughts on this week's performance against San Diego?
Well, Pat, the performance reminded me of this past week with Michelle. You see, I left the bottle of Viagra at home. It's a long flight to Jacksonville from 1600 Penn. This man just didn't have it in him. Kind of like our team this week. Or yesterday, should I say. We don't head well when we travel. And this week, Pat, neither did I.
Oh, man. Mr. President, you need not call in as an alibi. You are more than welcome to call in as yourself. I appreciate your efforts. Thank you for your extreme take on the game.
It was a crisis. Crisis, you see. Like I had gotten out in the Middle East. Maybe you've heard of ISIS.
Oh, yes, I have. I have heard of ISIS, Mr. President, of course.
All right. Well, let me tell you what I'm hitting them like.
Hit them on me.
I'm hitting them from long range. Just like your man, the B-5 bomber down in Jacksonville, can do. So let me tell you, Pat. Although it looked grim on the West Coast, I think when the Steeler fans fill your stadium next week, we got something to cheer about finally.
You mean to tell me that when the Steeler fans fill our seats, we've got something to cheer about, Mr. President?
Well, it's the same fans who have Jaguar jerseys on the following week.
Ooh.
Yes. You heard it here. Up in the Capitol, we got nothing but Redskins fans. So you transplants wearing Jag jerseys, you wear them this week and you wear them strong. Boston strong. For Jacksonville.
Mr. President, I appreciate your input on this show. It's definitely given me a very good laugh.
Well, my ties here are straight from Chicago. My man Bobby B. Babbage. Used to run them down by the dozens back in the 80s. I'm lucky I only have two kids there, Pat. You see, the protection I used was about as good as our own line. Letting everything through. Letting shots up the middle, around the side, hell, some coming around the back. Boy, laid it down, Mr.
Pat. President, you are definitely laying it down right now. This is exactly how I feel about the Jaguars' defense. Please continue.
Well, I can tell you the good things that happened on the other side of the ball. You see, you got a receiver out there, Allen Hurns, looking like Sticky Fingers from Little Giants. God damn it, you'd think the boy had never caught a football, looking up in the air like a roll of toilet paper. I'm surprised that motherfucker ever got a catch at the U. But don't worry. This week, I saw where you signed Nick Jacobs. Recreating the catch for his single reception this week for a touchdown.
Are you trying to recreate the catch so you take credit for it?
No.
Because he's in your fantasy team, Mr. President? What do you...
Well, one day Nick Jones will tell his grandkids of a man named Brent Clark. And he'll say his name belonged on that same plaque as long as time can tell. And it was from that one reception that Pat gave us hope in the first half. Hope we haven't seen since week one. Hope we have not seen since I last filled my prescription. So let me tell you where I'll end tonight.
Please, Mr. President, please. Absolutely.
And it starts with the leadership. Looking like Tom Watson at the Ryder Cup.
Oh, my God.
Letting Americans down. But keep faith, Jacksonville. I'll be back. Like my nut on those Chicago whores back in 73. So, Pat, have a good night.
Mr. President, you have a very pleasant night. Thank you so much for tuning in. Kuiper wow, Kuiper. Yeah,
I didn't screen the call very well.
You did not. Wow, holy.
It's the president.
Barry Yo from D.C. It's Mr. President himself.
Yeah, when I met him, we were in a strip club.
Oh, my
and
God.
He was actually in a...
We'll talk about this later. We got to take a break, guys. Thanks so much. We'll be right back. RCRadio.com. Thank you, guys, for giving us entertainment in the midst of our segments. You are listening to River City Sports Talk on RCRradio.com. I am your host, Patrick Wilkins. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. With me, as always, is Woody Powell and, of course, Ryan Kuiper. But as we left off earlier, we're going to get right down to the heart of it, and Woody's chomping at the bits. The defense clearly did not perform at the level that we expected our defense to perform after the moves that we had made in the offseason specifically for the defense, and we're still giving up ungodly numbers. Woody is chomping at the bits. Woody, what do you got to say about this performance?
Yeah, it's a very rich subject. It is just filled with so many layers. We're talking about a guy, Gus Bradley, that we identified as a defensive first coach, a guy who had had great success in the NFL and in college as a defensive coordinator and a defensive assistant. We bring him into Jacksonville to reinvigorate the defense, to make some big changes on that part of the ball, especially that would be his realm, and really elevate the level of play on that side of the ball. It just hasn't happened yet. So that's really the biggest question mark that I feel we have so far into the season. 0-4. The offense has gone through many adjustments. We spoke on it in the first half. Now we have Blake Bortles. It seems like they're going to pick up their end of the game. But we had no idea that the defense would lay it down so severely as they have in the first four games.
Not necessarily lay it down, but just lay down. Is the way that I feel that the Jacksonville defense has taken over through this part.
Well, second half has been pretty bad, so that's what you mean by laying down.
Yeah, laying down.
Talking about going down, we already kind of brought this up with the Hunger Games factor going on in the front office. If you're the loose, if you're the weakest link on this week's defense, you're gonna get cut. Whether you're, I mean, Winston Guy, Przinski so far, numerous others that have just gone through the team. If you're not going to perform, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it to the next week. And Gus Bradley has brought the same defense over from Seattle. They pretty much run a regular cover two, cover three.
Well, Gus Bradley should really check it again, dude. Because
the problem is that in Seattle, you have some of the best players in the NFL manning those positions, where their overall talent takes over, and they're able to run those standard base cover twos, cover threes. Jacksonville right now doesn't have those talented DBs, don't have the talented linebackers to keep up with talented tight ends in the league.
We're
so
supposed to, though.
We are. We have young.
We're
a young
supposed
squad
to, though.
That's why you see this guy coming in, like Lawson, for instance. We've already deactivated, already waived the guy twice this season and activated him up to the padded
Is our pool that short? Is our pool that short to where we are literally bringing up?
The NFL pool of talent is short at DB. So really, honestly, we are stuck with what we got at this point. So we have to build. But right now, Winston Guy, or is it Guy Winston?
Winston Guy.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. He's just a guy, because right now he doesn't have a team. And so that's where I'm coming from.
Winston Guy started the first four
lost
games of the season.
Yeah, but he was lost out there.
It doesn't matter.
He's
going to sign somewhere real quick.
If
we
you
just
were
let
watching
the guy
him,
walk away.
He first of all, he's a strong safety, and be a free safety playing like a strong safety. You can't be coming on angles. Your angles.
We're signing Craig
Lawson
to the actual 53-man roster.
He probably knows the playbook better than
when we're literally cutting Winston Guy. Whoa. Are you serious? Like, there's some serious issues that I have with that.
Because
move
Lawson,
to begin with.
Because Lawson's going to
no,
go ahead.
No, because
and
we literally have cut him twice, and now we are signing him to a 53-man roster.
That's what you do.
Who
with
are
rookie
we? Are you serious?
He's an undrafted free agent. That's what you do.
Winston Guy is a young defensive back. You let him play through.
It doesn't matter. He can be the fastest, most talented guy on the field. If you don't know the playbook, you don't know your assignments, you're going to suck in this league. That's bottom line. In college, you're able to overcome all those types of factors. If you don't know the playbook, you can still, you know, your talents can outshine the next, and you can carry you through a game. But right now in the NFL, you're going to get picked apart, especially against a quarterback like Phillip Rivers, and you lost your job because of it. And honestly, good riddance. I hope he finds a better coach out there that's going to teach him the right way or have the time to teach him and learn the defensive playbook. But right now, he's not a fit. And Boston, young player.
And
LSU, they had a great – they're always known for having great DBs.
Ryan.
So let's go ahead and give him a shot.
No, I've got a – no, I don't agree.
No. That was a very well put together argument there by Ryan. No, just no. Come on now. What have we really seen from our safeties, Patrick? That's really the question.
We haven't seen anything that makes you think
really
want
to hold on to him. He gave up. He gave up the biggest play. That right before halftime, he fell for the double hook and just got schooled on that play. And
what was it?
Finally,
what
the
was
straw
it
that,
that
broke
he
his back.
Had that the that Lawson didn't have?
Sure, there's a great natural athleticism.
What was that?
You're right. It's athleticism.
Like, what are you talking
but
about?
But again, like Ryan said, you have to know where to focus your athleticism when you're on the field. It's guys who can do both, who can bring it as an athlete and can also focus it in the right area that are going to succeed. He can do one, but he can't do the other. So why not turn it over to a guy who is a rookie out of LSU, like Ryan said, comes from a pedigree that puts out great DBs. Let's give this guy a chance. Eric Reed just came from LSU. He is starring out there with the 49ers. Let's go ahead and turn it over, give this kid a chance. I think it's funny that his last name is Lawson. We hope he's not too much lost when he's out there on the field. He would just be like every other free safety we ever had. They've always been lost as soon as they get on the field.
Woody, I gotta stop you right now. If you're this high on Lawson, why were you not so pissed off when we signed him to the scout team?
Because it's a 53-man roster. There's only so many positions. Right now, we can barely fill our offensive line. Of course, we gotta make some sacrifices when young players are in development
stages. I was high on Winston
stages,
Guy. I still am high on Winston Guy. I think he is a better defensive back.
Well, you better
just
switch jerseys because he's not playing for the Jaguars anymore.
Well, I don't have a jersey for Winston Guy, so I'm in the clear anyway. So
yeah. Well, if you're stuck on Winston Guy, then honestly,
that's what we were just talking about.
We had a free safety since Deion Grant. You guys remember Deion Grant? And guess where he went? Seattle. And that's like the baseline from there on out. He's kind of saw them into what they progressed in these years. We should have never gotten rid of him. I've always said that. Him and also, what's his name, who plays middle linebacker for the Ravens always last year. Anyway, back.
Daryl Smith.
Yeah, Daryl Smith. Another D. I don't know why I couldn't pick that up. Probably like the fifth because of the five beers we drank trying to record this thing. So let's go ahead. I mean, honestly, defense, it's a problem right now. We all know that.
No, it's an issue. It's a serious
It's a big
issue.
Problem. We thought we made, like you said, we thought we made the right moves in the offseason to help our young DBs out on routes because we weren't going to give the quarterback much time to make his progressions. But obviously, besides the first half of this season, we haven't seen that. And that's that. We need to show progressive.
We've got the progressive that we're going to show throughout the next couple of weeks. Obviously, there are plus signs across the board because Bortles.
We came into that game leading the league or tied for the most sacks in the league. Coming into that game, I don't know where we ended up, but that's
you
obviously
don't know
positive.
Where we ended up because it was not a record or anything like that. Well, so it's just need to get past that right now. And really look at what the defense is doing. It's not a lot, and you know it, Kuiper. You do.
Well, with Pittsburgh coming in, we can.
What Pittsburgh coming in? That. I can tell you that offense is clicking on all fucking fours.
Well, not this past Sunday. They lost to Tampa Bay, which
they lost. And you know what?
We would
if
get
they
a win
lose
before
two
they
in
would,
a row to
Jacksonville,
I guarantee you, it's a grace of God if they lose two in a row to Jacksonville. I'm not even. Kuiper, they're going to beat us up.
The thrill is gone, Patrick.
The thrill is gone. Beat us
you
up.
Are ready to go ahead and pass the torch to the Pittsburgh Steelers and say they're going to walk in here and win the game?
No. Never. If you want my honest opinion, I think they are going to beat us up. at home.
You're absolutely hilarious.
I want the Jaguars to win every single week, but I think that they're going to get beat up by the Steelers.
Well, they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's focus on some of the comparisons, which I think are somewhat unfounded, between Blake Bortles and Ben Roethlisberger. I see Ben Roethlisberger with just a lot more meat on the bone, just kind of a thicker character, not as agile, not as fast in the straight line. I think people are underestimating the athleticism of Blake Bortles. I think he's got a little bit more get up and go than a lot of people want to think. I like this quarterback draw that they run whenever they notice that the coverage is prime for it, where he can just sort of sprint towards the sideline. He always ends up making a really good gain on that.
Is that a free call? Do you think that's a free call?
Oh, I hope it is.
Do you think that it's like, go for it? Like, we're giving you free reign? Like, if you spread it out that far and you've got the hole and you see it,
I
just
love
go
the
it.
Idea of that, Patrick.
Like,
I do.
Like, does that, like you are the franchise quarterback of this organization. And yes, you are the spark that we're expecting. Yes, you're going to go 0-4. We let you in halfway through the third week. You're going to get beat in San
You hit
Diego.
The nail on the
you're
head.
Like, you're going to get beat. You're going to get beat.
Well, I would just talk about his role in the offense, and you just touched on some really important points. They interviewed Jed Fish this week, and they talked about this being, you know, Blake Bortles' first week of starting, what his interactions were with Blake Bortles, and when they got together for the first time, Blake let him know about several plays that he wasn't comfortable running. And then they talked for another 15 or 20 minutes, and Jed Fish decided to take out another four or five plays to get it down to a group of plays that Bortles was familiar with running and would be comfortable going with. And Jed Fish told Blake Bortles point blank, the pin is going to be in your hand last before we leave this meeting. This is on you. This is your responsibility now. You've seen Chad Henne do it for a few weeks. Now it's your time to take it and run. So really, the play calling does come down to a combination now between Jed Fish and Blake Bortles. I think personally, it's a rare experience to see a rookie quarterback being so involved in the offense.
That's just it. Do you give him the go-away?
I think that's what they have done. And I really like your insight on whether or not he calls those quarterback draws himself. Absolutely, it would seem feasible to him if he sees it opening up to go ahead and call it himself. He has had the freedom to call audibles already throughout the offense, and I really think that's Jed Fish's approach with him. As far as Blake Bortles can go, that's as far as we'll let him go. And if he can prove that he can do it, then we'll let him do it.
I think Jed Fish is actually like thanking God that we have Blake Bortles as a starting quarterback for his offense right now.
He's not the only one. I'm ready to get down on my knees and pray and give my change to the collection plate. Blake Bortles is the man as far as I'm concerned. He had a 78% completion percentage. He went out there and was a gamer. Those two things combined make you very happy to be a Jaguar fan. We have to keep going back to it. I know we've tried to talk about other areas of the team, but it all circles back to Blake Bortles, and it should be. We finally have a rookie quarterback who is earning his stripes, playing better than we could have, and oh my gosh, do we not need that so badly in Jacksonville? But we do have to finish up on the defense, and we do have to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into town. Patrick, you already alluded to the fact that the Steelers are going to come in and do what other teams have already done to us. It's no big surprise. They're going to put it on us. They're going to challenge us. But this is the first time that Bortles will have four quarters in the friendly confines of Everbank Field. We'll see if he can spark some magic with that. These rookie receivers, they grow by leaps and bounds every week. We'll see if the offensive line and Luke Bowanko can steady itself. Let's see what the defense can do this week. Ryan, I want you to tell me a little bit about the defensive back play as we switch to Lawson and whether or not you think we can hold the Steelers down to a reasonable level.
I'm going to go ahead and say no. I don't think we can. Unfortunately, what I've been seeing these past few weeks, I don't think our DBs really have a shot against the likes of Antonio Browns and the Heath Millers of the world. Roethlisberger's been shredding defenses this
That's
past
just
few
it.
Weeks.
Roethlisberger has been on point.
He's been on point, but we did see.
Which is crazy because his closest relation is Blake Bortles. Like, what
it's going to be great.
What is the football game we're about to see with that next weekend?
Hopefully, honestly, if we could just have a middle-of-the-road defense, a 15 in the league defense, I honestly believe that this team is a 9-7, 8-8 team right off the bat with all these young players. But right now, we can't get our defense off the field. And it's just one of those things when it comes down to the quarterback and Blake Bortles not having the rhythm coming in every few minutes or so like normal offenses do. Instead, we got 10-15 minute waits before the offense gets back on the field. It's just not good for a young quarterback in the rhythm. But at the same time, the DBs need to hold their man a little bit longer. Lawson coming in, he's going to be young. I don't think he's going to have too much playing time, but when he does come in, hopefully makes him.
We're signing Lawson again. We're signing him again from the scouts.
It's just because he's young and he's developing, and he knows his assignments, obviously. Otherwise, he wouldn't be upgraded to the 53-man roster. But at the same time,
I just don't get it. I mean, you cut Winston Guy.
I have a bigger worry about Le'Veon Bell coming out of the backfield and whether or not our linebackers can. Stay with him when he goes out on those little screen passes that they like to run, or even when they line up and run the ball, whether or not our run defense, which actually showed improvement this past week, they actually were stopping third string Donald Brown. But anyway,
and listen, yeah, they stopped the third stringer and Donald Brown, but they
we're going
didn't
against
do
Le'Veon and
they
Garrett Blunt.
They didn't do anything against the pass rush and Phillip Rivers. Picked the Jaguars apart.
This
week, Ben Roethlisberger has been on fire all year long.
If I'm
Le'Veon Bell, that offensive line is killing it.
You're right.
We need to get realistic about going 0-5.
I think with all these people getting cut every
week. I'm bringing
week,
us all back to reality. I'm sorry, guys. It's great. We
let's
had a
go
lot
ahead
of things,
and put ourselves.
But
have
fuck that, dude. We are fucking. We're in some tough shit.
Well, right now it might seem that way, and I'm obviously I'm just one.
I
of
hope
those
to God you all
full.
Fucking literally. Let's put a bet on it right now.
What?
I do the next show in like a Speedo or.
No, I don't want
oh
that
my
bet.
God, anything
no one
that.
Wants that
I'll
bet.
Anything,
but what's the bet?
Bet
what's the bet though?
I don't know. I was trying to find a bet.
Well. There's no bet going on. I don't want to see that. I'll tell you that right now.
Can I make a bet to make you wear more clothes next time?
Let's go ahead and say that the Jaguars and their DBs, their D-line, everything needs improvement. So we'll
of course, there's
in.
All improvement.
So
there's all
that's
improvement.
All we can hope for. And when we do see that, I mean, that's what we got going.
Yeah, I'm going to cut carbs this week, actually. That's going to be my improvement. I'm really going to try and get rid of some breads and grains that really aren't adding anything to my diet. And I hope that the Jaguars decide to run a few more, I don't know, trick plays on defense, if you will, show some different coverage, at least threaten to blitz on that cover two. Ryan touched on it earlier. It was really frustrating to see Phillip Rivers go up to the line, call out the Mike linebacker and hike the ball and just feel comfortable for the most part,
completely
trying to pick
ease.
Apart
completely
cover two. Andrew Luck did the same thing. That cover two is great.
Kirk
if you can
Cousins
run it.
Did the same thing.
That's right. And Ryan touched on it. The best athletes, some of the best athletes in the NFL run it in Seattle. We're trying to do it with Dwayne Grotz, Demetrius McCray, Jonathan Cyprian, and now Josh Evans. And we just can't ask those guys to duplicate what's going on out in Seattle. It just goes to show you that the scheme is one thing, but the players who make up the scheme really make the scheme fire off and make it work. Any good
but
coach
who's
will
drafting
tell you that.
Those players? Because those players are extremely young.
Absolutely.
Who is drafting
Dave,
those
Dave
players?
Caldwell is drafting
you're
him.
You're fucking drafting some glass fucking skeletons right there.
So I heard something earlier this week on local radio where, you know, instead of thinking of it as a three-year plan, we have to extend that a few more years. And there's a few reasons why I think that is applicable. We are a smaller market team. We're not a destination city for free agents. So it's going to take us a little bit longer to build our team primarily through the draft like we are now. So instead of a three-year plan, we need to have our eyes on a 4 or 5 year plan and not get too far ahead of ourselves and realize that this is going to be a slow process, a slower process than we've been led to believe and a slower process certainly than we want, but a process that's going to take a little bit longer to get there.
Of course it's going to take us longer to get there. Obviously we're witnessing that right now because we started the season last year at 0-4. And this is still the same Caldwell-Bradley team that is starting the season again at 0-4 with a great chance to go 0-5. And we're supposed to improve on 4-12, which we did last year. We went 8 to start the first 8 weeks of the season. But where is the improvement? You know what I mean? Like you can't pull out 4 wins in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season and call it an improvement. Like you
certainly can't. No, not from last
year. You know what I mean?
Year.
Like,
absolutely.
Where are you going?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes. That's why there's so much disappointment with the slow start we've had this year, because we thought we were building off a 4-4 split at the end of last year. But when you start 0-4, that split is out the window. You're absolutely
really,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, we went into week two thinking that we could beat the Redskins, and they embarrassed the Jaguars.
And then we got embarrassed by the Colts.
And then we got embarrassed by the Colts.
Then we got embarrassed by the Chargers. So tell me this, Patrick. Are we going to get embarrassed by the Pittsburgh Steelers? Give me a final score on the game.
I think that I'm a betting man. So a betting man would say that, yes, we're going to get blown out by the Steelers.
So what do you think this final score is going to be?
I'm going to give my honest score instead of the betting man score, and I am going to say that it is 27-24 Pittsburgh.
Losing in a heartbreaker, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars losing
turning
in a
the knife on the Jacksonville Jaguars, yep. But doing it from a very honest approach and really giving the Jaguars a lot of credit. When I look at this game, I wouldn't put us within 3 points. It's hard to put them within 13 points, but that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say it's 33-20. I think the Jaguars put together some offense in the first half, but again, they taper off in the second half. We're just not a second half team, no matter how much we wish that we could switch that around. We can't.
Fucking got so many miles out of that one.
So Pittsburgh is going to win. I think they're going to win 33-20. Ryan, what do you think?
Well, you guys are a little bit more ambitious than me. I'm going to go ahead and play it how I see it. Based on their past four performances, I don't see their defense clicking back or even responding back or bouncing back in any type of positive way. So I'm going to be a little bit more realistic than you guys. I'm going to go ahead and say 38-21 Pittsburgh.
Holy shit.
But it will be a fun game at first. I think we'll keep it close in the beginning, but I don't think
this guy's the biggest fan, Jaguar fans.
I'm the biggest fan, but I'm going to be realistic. I think it's going to be a fun game.
You hear that?
I think it's going to be a fun, close game at first, but at the end of the game, Pittsburgh's going to pull away.
My
the sky is fucking falling, ladies and gentlemen. It is game over, okay? They fucking won. Kuiper says we're going to get blown out. You better fucking worry, all right? Jesus Christ.
No, you don't have to worry.
Pittsburgh is going to put a hurting on us. Ryan Kuiper is the truest Jaguar fan I've met in the last several years, and he just fucking predicted a blowout. God damn it, Jaguars. I hope you can respond to this. I hope you can rise up and kick some ass. You won't be listening to this podcast, but maybe you'll be feeling the vibe of it as we give it to you guys. We hope that it's a better performance, but all three of us predict that the three of us are going to lose. It is what it is. We're going to pick it up next week with the next opponent. Better days always. Patrick, please send us out on top.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I'm sorry for Woody's rant just then. It was a good rant, I must say.
It won't be the first or the last time that I'm apologized for.
It is the first time, but it won't be the last time. This guy's awesome. He knows exactly what he's wanting to do. Whether it's what everybody wants to hear or not, he's still going to do it. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. You're listening to River City Sports Talk, RCRRadio.com.